morning. You're listening to Conservation Corner here on 99.5 FM, KTWH LP, Two Harbors, Minnesota. I'm your host, Emily Nelson, and today I'm speaking with Sonia Smirud, Aquatic Invasive Species Coordinator and Water Planner for Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District. We'll be talking about One Watershed, One Plan for the Lake Superior North Watershed. So thank you so much for talking with me today. We'll be talking about One Watershed, One Plan, especially as it pertains to Lake Superior North Watershed. Just to start off with some basics, what is One Watershed, One Plan?
Yeah, so One Watershed, One Plan is a move to watershed-based planning for water resources in Minnesota rather than competitive-based planning and funding along county lines. So all the counties have currently have water plans on the books for the county, but for funding for that, they have to sort of compete by counties. And It's also not necessarily the best way to manage resources because those resources are dependent upon watershed rather than, you know, from a resource perspective, arbitrary county lines. And so water planning in Minnesota, actually, it began in 1937 with the Minnesota Soil Conservation Law. And then in 1938, the first Soil and Water Conservation District was formed. And then the Minnesota Comprehensive Local Water Management Act began in 1985. And that water management planning informs the work that we as a conservation district do. And then it's supposed to inform counties and their natural resource management as well. And the state just wanted to move towards that comprehensive watershed management framework, and that began in 2012. And then the WRAPs, or the Watershed Restoration and Protection Strategies, related to the PCA, is attached to this as well. So it's a 10-year cycle for watershed monitoring, and theoretically that the WRAPs would be complete in a watershed, and then the One Watershed, One Plan would sort of inform from that. And the One Watershed, One Plan is just a little more comprehensive picture, I guess, than WRAPs would be. WRAPs focusing on water quality, whereas One Watershed, One Plan includes SSTS, or subsurface sewage treatment systems, so septics, and it also includes groundwater, AIS, all the components of water resource management. So, yeah.
Just to explain for the listeners what the WRAPs process contributes to One Watershed, One Plan, what kind of data do they feed into the plan?
Yeah, a lot of data. So the MPCA has been collecting water monitoring data for years. And through this comprehensive watershed management framework, I think that they kind of passed that in 2015 at the legislature, I believe. And it's basically saying that rather than sort of, I wouldn't say it's haphazard, but rather than just like going based on area or need or things like that, that they would make a plan for their monitoring that they're doing. And so let's collect all the surface water monitoring water quality data in this watershed in 2 years. And then we're going to identify and assess the monitoring and assessment report. And then after that, they'll identify specific stressors. So for instance, the Rainy River headwaters right now, they're in that stressor identification component, and they're looking at the Black Duck and the Ash Rivers specifically, because that's something that was illuminated in their water quality data work. And then after that, they kind of come up with, they have a lot of public participation to inform it. And then they come up with, implementation strategies and ways to sort of fix some of these water quality problems. And with all this data, then we're able to make a more informed and robust plan.
Yeah.
So One Watershed, One Plan in Lake Superior North had a consultant that worked on the Emmons and Olivier resources. They did a great job, and they used a lot of that initial information from the Lake Superior WRAPs and monitoring data to create a sort of a zonation model or a map that says these are the worst water quality areas, these are the best, this is what's worth protecting, this is the area we really need to focus on, and it really helps guide our work in a more concerted way.
Wonderful. When did the process start within the Lake Superior North watershed?
Yeah, so our county water plan was due for an update in 2015. So about 2013, Dan Schutte, the district manager and water planner for the county at that time, started working on the update process. And this was right when the One Watershed, One Plan process was getting rolling as well.
Yep.
So that's sort of when that began. And we submitted a nomination to create a One Watershed, One Plan in Lake Superior North, in the Lake Superior North watershed, in 2014. And so that's when that began. Oh, okay. And then we adopted it, I believe, 2016. First implementation year was 2017. And then the funding has come through now just recently. So
Okay. And I understand that the Lake Superior North Watershed, One Watershed, One Plan was one of the pilot One Watershed, One Plan projects.
It was. So this is a very new process. And I have to share, I was speaking with someone from the Board of Water and Soil Resources recently, and Jeff Rubish, and he had a nice quote about this too, which I think is wonderful to share, that he had said, moving from competitive-based funding to watershed-based funding that is identified in local plans is a huge change in watershed management in Minnesota, and it could be easy to concentrate on project funding and forget the fundamental shifts that have taken place to get to this point. So just a reminder that this is a pilot project, so we're one of five. Some of the other areas of Minnesota that are doing this One Watershed, One Plan process are the Red Lake River, the North Fork Crow River, Yellow Medicine River, and the Root River. So those are some of the other One Watershed, One Plans that are happening. And so we're helping to sort of inform how the state can transition to this whole watershed-based planning effort across Minnesota. And the state's hoping to do that by 2025.
So. Great. I've noticed on the maps that the Lake Superior North Watershed boundaries are a little bit different within One Watershed, One Plan compared to the MPCA's RAPS process. Just what are some of the boundaries of the One Watershed, One Plan area here?
Yeah, so Lake Superior, the drainage basin for Lake Superior is includes the Lake Superior North Watershed and then also the Lake Superior South Watershed. Lake Superior South is primarily Lake and St. Louis County, so that would include like down towards Duluth, French River area, and then up towards Tofte, and then Lake Superior North is like all the way up to Thunder Bay. And ours is called the Lake Superior North Watershed, primarily for a planning effort. And so that includes Cook and Lake County. And so the planning area for One Watershed, One Plan goes from Thunder Bay, the border, essentially Grand Portage, down to through the Knife River sub watershed. So,
So south of Two Harbors.
South of Two Harbors, essentially. Yeah. So it doesn't include all of the Lake Superior South delineated watershed, but it is an effective watershed planning area.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And who is involved in drafting the plan?
Lots of people. There's lots of partners and stakeholders, local governments, state agencies that were involved. There was a technical advisory committee that had a lot of input in the creation of the plan, and that included folks from Minnesota DNR's Coastal Program, from the Minnesota Department of Health, from the PCA, from the DNR, from Wetland Conservation Act implementation folks, from the Board of Water and Soil Resources, the county, all sorts of people. Each of the cities had, were on the advisory committee as well. We also had a huge public participation process in this. And so the agencies may have identified all these different areas and, our consultant identified based on the data that we've collected and through RAPS process and other data sources, but the public ultimately also had input in saying, this is a priority area for us. These are things that I'm thinking about. And so they were able to sort of create those pieces. And then, there's also a policy committee. So they're sort of the folks that who have ultimately the Lake County, Cook County Soil and Water Conservation District and Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District have adopted the plan, and the policy committee consists of those people, and they're ultimately the ones that are sort of make recommendations to Bowser and will approve adoption and approve final work plans and stuff like that. Lots of people. A designated water planner for Cook and Lake County, Lana Hansel. She's been involved from the beginning on this. From Cook County Soil and Water Conservation District. She's the district manager there and the water planner for Cook. And then Dan Schutte, the district manager and water planner at the time. And now myself, Sonny Smeard, for the water planner for Cook County and working with Lake County SOCD. So,
yeah. People. And the plan sets forth some priorities. What are the priorities within this watershed?
Yeah, so it's kind of focused around stormwater, groundwater, surface water, and aquatic invasive species. There some of the big things that came out as foci in our targeted implementation were stormwater and forestry work for protection of clean water. And the plan is designed to have tier 1, 2, and 3 targeted implementation areas. So in Lake County, for instance, the nearshore Lake Superior area is a tier 1 area in addition to Skunk Creek and the Knife River watershed. So Two Harbors, our listeners here on the radio, they are all in a tier 1 area. And then the Beaver River watershed, the East Beaver and the West Beaver, is also a tier 1 watershed. There's other tier 2 watersheds, Stewart River watershed, and then the Baptism. And then there's more tier 1 and tier 2 watersheds up in the Cook area as well. And then in addition to that, geographical prioritization. We also have a targeted implementation sort of outline. So we have a big chart. If you're looking at the plan, it's on page 47 that has all the targeted things that we want to do first. Those aren't ranked necessarily. It's just because we want to make sure that there's some flexibility with local capacity to be able to mm-hmm. implement some of these projects. And then there's a secondary implementation table as well. Things that I think are also important, but maybe would happen after we do that targeted stuff. So an example would be, one of the targeted implementation items is developing a stormwater management plan in each urban node of the watershed and installing stormwater best management practices to reduce erosion and runoff in those areas. So that would be, for instance, Grand Marais just developed a stormwater management plan for the city mm-hmm. that the city bought. They're now hoping to do installations to reduce runoff into Lake Superior and flooding in the parking lot at the co-op and things. So.
Okay. What are some of the big challenges with water quality within the watershed?
Yeah, I mean, I think erosion, like sedimentation is a big problem in Lake Superior North. We have sort of a unique watershed in that there's a lot of channelization. There's a lot of like steep bank, clay banks going on into Lake Superior and a lot of rivers. Mm-hmm. And so that there's a lot of sediment, like total suspended solids, it's called. And so impairments are linked to that. I know that one of the concerns here in Two Harbors is Skunk Creek is impaired as well and has a draft TMDL or total maximum daily low. That's a EPA official PCA drafted sort of strategy that we want to mitigate, and some of that's based on E. coli impairments as well. Yeah. There's different pieces, but I think that Lake Superior does have sort of a unique sediment-based, erosion-based impairments and water quality concerns. Mm-hmm. So, whereas if you look at some other areas in southern Minnesota, a lot of those concerns are geared towards phosphorus and the chloride and other impairments.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of differences across the state. More. What funding sources are available to fund some of the projects?
Mm-hmm. So One Watershed, One Plan is funded through the Minnesota Land and Legacy Amendment. Mm-hmm. So it's a 3/8% tax, I believe, in 2008. And it helps fund water, clean water in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of different funds under that. And the One Watershed, One Plan process is funded under the Clean Water Fund. Mm-hmm. So they have to show water quality improvements through the Clean Water Fund. And there are lots of projects that have historically been funded through that. Mm-hmm. This is sort of an allocation to the Board of Water and Solar Resources that they are reallocating to the counties for funding.
Okay.
So in 2018, for the we have a biennial funding allocation of $387,059. To implement these outlined goals in Lake Superior North and Watershed One Plan. Just as a reference point, we did outline projects that were upwards of $10 million. And so it's a small percentage, but it's starting to crack away at it. And it is more money than we've gotten historically for water planning in the county and in the area. So that's really great. And the current funding allocation is based on a base amount of $250,000 to each pilot area, and then an additional percentage on top of that for the amount of private lands that the watershed area boundaries have. So Lake Superior North only has 7% private lands within the watershed in reference to all the other 5 pilots. So it's a little confusing, but
okay,
we don't have quite we got a lower allocation than a lot of the other pilot areas because we have lesser mm-hmm. private lands. I think it's about 24-25% private land in the watershed here. And just as a note too, we are receiving this funding, but we are still eligible for other grants and competitive clean water funds. And so there's a lot of opportunity for agencies to utilize clean water funds to expand already projects they're already doing, or help make grant funds more robust or act as a match. I think that there's a lot of exciting things that have come as a result of the planning effort, conversations that collaborators have had, and we've had a lot of great communication, and the state has really applauded Lake Superior North for their planning work on this. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people have a lot of exciting things that we're talking about, whether it's culvert replacements and improvements or a coastal erosion hazard map or all sorts of different options that folks are looking at different ways to fund it. And One Watershed, One Plan is just a piece of that.
Mm-hmm. Are these funds, you said from Bowser?
They're from the Board of Water and Soil Resources. So yeah, are those, through the Clean Water Funds. Yes.
Is that fund a one-time fund, or is there a plan to have recurring funding?
There is a plan to have recurring funding. So the length of the plan is 10 years with a five-year update in the middle. And the funding would happen every 2 years with a three-year period to spend it out. So we would have this 387-ish for fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 19 to spend out by the end of 2020. And then we would have an additional funding allocation. I don't know what that will be yet. It's a pilot. We're all still learning, including the state. And that would come in fiscal year 20 for the next biennium of funding. And there is a 10% at least match requirement with those that money as well. And that can't be from state funds. It has to be local funds or federal or other sources. And we're hoping to make that match even higher.
Great. And what is the process to allocate those funds across projects that are outlined in the plan?
Yeah. So again, still, it is a pilot. So we're still, we're working on that right now. And we've met with the primary people that are implementing these projects are the local government units. So primarily the county and the Soil and Water Conservation Districts, the cities as well. Nonprofits have been at the table as well. And we've essentially solicited sort of a project wish list. Okay, let's look at this targeted implementation table and schedule that we have outlined in the plan already.
Yeah.
And now, which projects can we do feasibly in that first biennium of funding? And so we sort of developed a wish list, and then all those local partners got together and developed three different funding plan recommendations that the policy committee will then review, and the policy committee will make recommendations for the water planners to draft, and then Bowser will be the final approval on that work plan that we've developed.
Oh, okay. And is the plan binding? People who have signed on, organizations who have signed on to adopt the plan, I guess, are they required to carry out a certain number of the projects, or?
That's a good question. There's a memorandum of agreement between the partners. So there's some degree of agreement that this is important and some bindingness to it. It is a signed document, but it's a soft bind to some degree because there isn't necessarily enforcement with that.
And that would be difficult because you can't guarantee funding for a lot of these big projects.
But the key thing is that if the county is each county is statutorily obligated to have a water plan on the books, and the soil and water conservation districts are guided by the water plan as well. So to receive any state funds, we need to have a water plan. And so although not enforcement binding, it is binding if we want any money to implement water conservation. So yes, in some ways, yes.
I'd just like to remind everyone, you're listening to Conservation Corner here on 99.5 FM, KTWHLP, Two Harbors, Minnesota. I'm Emily Nelson, and today I'm speaking with Lake County SWCD's Sonia Smirud about One Watershed, One Plan in the Lake Superior North watershed. And what is the process for assessing the success of implementation?
Yeah, each project has identified measurable outcomes with it. So, for instance, with a stormwater best management practice that we're hoping to put forward, we would say, you know, this X amount of tons of sedimentation reduced from runoff into Lake Superior. And so as long as that is being met, then that sort of part of the success measurement. And we are following guidelines from the Bowser Grant Administration Manual, too. So practices need to have at least a 10-year lifespan for conservation as well. We're still developing exactly what the outcomes and measurability will look like. We do follow general conservation guidelines through the National Resource Conservation Service, etc. So we follow their guidelines, And we will create an annual report each year as well about, you know, what we're doing. And there, and then Bowser also has to review our progress towards the plan.
Yeah.
And they are mandated by the state to do so. And so we have to report our budgetary, our expenses and our grant administration to them each year. So there is a, mm-hmm. there's a fair amount of oversight with it. But exactly how we're measuring those outcomes is still somewhat being developed. But I think that part of the goal with One Watershed, One Plan is to do targeted, measurable implementation that aligns with state standards as well. So the state has a goal of 25% reduction in water quality impairments by 2025. That's sort of outlined by Governor Dayton. And mm-hmm. by having these local government units that are saying, you know, we reduced sedimentation by X percent, or we reduced phosphorus by X percent, mm-hmm. then they're able to combine that into a state level, and we can more accurately see how the state's doing for water conservation work.
Yep.
And those goals.
And I suppose some of the improvements would be documented when the RAPS process comes back around and there's water monitoring carried out again.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point.
Compare.
Yeah. So when the cycle sort of returns, we'd be able to see a lot of that. And this is just a side note, but like the Poplar River in the watershed is in the process right now of potentially being delisted. So it's been listed for impairments, and they've mm-hmm. really been working hard on a number of projects up there. And it is a huge process to be quote unquote delisted from the impaired water 303 D list.
Yeah.
But it's a really important one as well. And that is the goal of mm-hmm. RAPS, is to ultimately delist waters and what are the ways that we get there. Mm-hmm. And so I think One Watershed, One Plan is another piece of that. And and the measurability will come from, future monitoring work.
Mm-hmm. In the past, the public has had a lot of participation in creating the One Watershed, One Plan. What are some future opportunities for public involvement?
Yeah, so there was a lot of heavy public participation in the creation of the plan. And so a mm-hmm. lot of the comments that, thank you so much, everyone, for your comments and input, that is included in the plan. And so what we're doing with implementation now is guided by what you've mentioned and what you have added. And so a lot of public participation has already informed the process.
Yep.
And so with the implementation stage, we will have opportunities for public participation, but we've barely even started that implementation, really. I mean, the mm-hmm. plan is very new. And we haven't even gotten the first round of funding on it really on the books yet. So
yeah.
I think that that's still a growing process to see what public participation will look like in the future. I know that at least in the 5-year update, we'll have an opportunity to have some public meetings and folks to give some input and feedback on how it's going and if there's any updates or amendments that need to be made to the plan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information available about it. So you can ask the county water planners, Elaine Hansel and myself, give us a call at the Solano Water Conservation District. We can answer questions for you. Or if you have additional input, feel free to let us know and we can try to incorporate that with local partners. And we'll inform people too of their next opportunity for public participation for sure.
Okay. And then what would you say as far as like percentage wise, how many of these projects are going to be taking place on private land? Or is it mostly public land? I guess I'm not clear.
Yeah, the plan is supposed to guide all conservation resources, so it's not necessarily public or private specific.
Mm-hmm.
Their soil and water conservation districts are focused on private technical conservation assistance to private landowners, and the county is focused on servicing private landowners as well,
mm-hmm.
and county lands that they have. We will solicit annually reports of progress from public agencies. So there's a lot of things that people are doing that related to the plan and meeting those goals that aren't necessarily funded under this, funding plan. And so, for instance, the County Highway Department's doing an amazing project according to MESBOK standards for culvert replacement near the Encampment River Highway 3 area
mm-hmm.
that is perfectly in line with their One Watershed, One Plan goals. We want to do one culvert replacement per year
mm-hmm.
and increase and grow the culvert replacements to MESBOK standards. And so, but that's funding that's not even coming from One Watershed, One Plan, but it's still meeting the goals. And other projects too, like that the DNR is doing, a lot of terrestrial invasive species removal, for instance, the Knife River watershed up on the very upper part, sort of in St. Louis County and then on the border there. And so all that relates. And so we'll solicit some of those reports of progress each year, and that will be included in our progress towards the plan. So, does that answer the question?
Yeah, okay. That does. And I guess my last question is, where can people go to find out more information about the plan and One Water, One Plan in general?
Yeah, so again, you can feel free to call us at the Southern Water Conservation Districts or email us as well. We have a website at lakecountyswcd.org, and that's housed currently on the Lake County website. And so it has a link to the actual Lake Superior North One Watershed One Plan document. Yeah. It is a little long, but it's a readable, wonderful thing. So feel free to take a look at it. And
yeah, they used great formatting.
They did, yes. So there are little blue boxes that say like sort of the targeted implementation items, and little orange boxes that are those secondary implementation items. And it's kind of organized by topic. And you can see in the tables and some of the maps too, in the appendix, there's different maps of those targeted areas and the resource concerns therein. And there's also a fact sheet on the website on the website that should outline some of those key pieces.
Okay. And then I think Bowser probably has a One Water Should One Plan
page. Yeah, if you're curious about, if you're, you know, you are wondering, hey, does my granddaughter or sister or whatever live in a One Water Should One Plan area? What does their county water plan look like? Or you want to thank the state for moving towards a watershed-based management framework, or you've got additional public comments on it, or curious about anything, Bowser does have a One Watershed One Plan website on their website, bowser.state.mn.us. And you can just go to water planning, I believe, and it's one of the links under there. And so they've got more updates about water, One Watershed One Plans across the state, and then about county comprehensive water planning as well.
And looking forward to the future, we will be looking at doing a One Water One Plan in Rainy River Headwaters. I guess you're preparing for that. So
So I think again, the state is moving towards the comprehensive watershed framework by 2025. So we hope to get the Rainy River Headwaters part of that train pretty early. And so it's a process. You know, you've got to make sure that it's the planning involves like comprehensive planning for the counties. There's all sorts of planning efforts, and so it's just a matter of really aligning those and seeing when the best timing is and how we can make that happen. And
great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.
Thank you all for listening to Conservation Corner here on 99.5 FM KTWHLP, Two Harbors, Minnesota. Conservation Corner was produced by Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District with funding from NOAA and the Office for Coastal Management, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and the Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment. I'm Emily Nelson, and I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.